Welcome to episode 54 of CMBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. Tonight we're going to drink a vertical of beers from Devil's Backbone Brewery out of Lexington, Virginia. And we have a special guest, also the fifth Beatle of CNBC.
Jeff. Or third Beatle.
I like beer.
Yep. That guy. All right. And the first one we're going to drink tonight is Spider Bite Session Black Wheat India Pale Ale.
What?
That's a lot of adjectives.
Spider
guys.
Bite.
Start at the beginning.
All right. I'm not even going to say the name of the beer. I'm just going to go with the adjectives, all right? Session, which generally means low alcohol.
Okay, all right.
Black, they're using some roasted malts.
A little
in there,
racially
right?
Sensitive. Okay.
Wheat. So they've got some wheat in
wheat.
There. And India Pale Ale.
Wow.
Session,
so this is like the epitome.
Black.
So
wheat.
Other than sour, other than Brettanomyces, yeah, this just has everything. And a rye, maybe.
It doesn't have a lager. It's missing rye. Yeah.
All right. So this is from the Devil's Backbone's Rare series, which All right. This is in a 12-ounce bottle.
Rare because
got a mix of beers
we're taking
from these
a
guys.
Winger.
But this was like all the leftovers.
Holy moly. Smell that.
On the spirit of confluence, though.
That, close your eyes, that smells like an IPA.
Whoa. That smells like
goodness.
A malty, earthy IPA.
No, that's like a fruity IPA.
Yeah, fruit.
Right, so there's something wrong with my nose. You're getting fruit. I'm not getting fruit off of this.
Super fruity IPA. Like, to me, this has the tropical fruit IPA. I love this.
Right, tropical
are you
fruit
serious?
Too.
I am not getting, I'm getting like an earthy dirt.
What? You'd stop, close your eyes.
I did. That's what you said to do first.
At the very finish of the nose, it turns roasted. But not all fruit on the front end.
Okay.
So.
Give it a taste.
Oh, that's shitty.
We've had some like this before where you smell that super hop, fruity hoppiness.
But you don't get the...
And you drink it and you're like, no, it doesn't match.
No, that's not good. This is when you... Okay, when you were a kid, did you ever order swamp water soda?
We called them suicides.
Whatever. Where you mix
Sprite,
everything... Yeah, everything
Coke,
on tap. That's what happened to this beer. They just... all the dregs of every leftover fermentation chamber, they just put all in one. That's awful.
I have to agree, I'm disappointed because, Allagash, with its confluence, managed to merge complex flavors together. This one does seem more like what you're talking about. It's like a Long Island iced tea.
There were too many adjectives in
there's
the beer.
There's a lot going on there. Well, I don't get the wheat. I mean, whatever, there's wheat in here. That just means they didn't have to filter it. But there's so much burnt, roasted flavor.
That's what I was getting on aroma,
that's
too.
That's covering anything that might be good about this beer.
But there still is a sweet finish, so I'll give it. It's got a floral front and a sweet finish.
It smells really good. I love the smell of it. But when I drink it, I'm not loving it.
No.
I don't know, guys. This is not too far off from like the grapefruity citrusy IPAs. I think
if you shut off those other adjectives, session, black, wheat, and you just think IPA, this could be just an IPA. It's one of those IPAs that smells great, has more bitterness than
dirty, earthy.
Yeah.
See?
When you actually drink it.
But I got that off the fucking smell, man. And maybe you guys don't have your glasses
around. We're not broken the way that you are.
We didn't also talk about the color, but the color of this thing is...
dark.
Very dark brown, almost black.
Well,
you can't see a finger through it.
No. It's lighter than a porter.
Yeah.
It's lighter than a porter.
Yeah.
It's like
not pitch black.
It's like a brown ale.
But you can't see much through it.
No. But it's not as viscous as a porter or a stout.
No.
So it's I don't know. I did not hate it as much as you two hated this one.
All right.
I'll give you that, what do you call it, swamp water?
Yeah.
Or that suicide. It has that initial beginning. But then, give it the warm up. Give it the warm up. Let
I
this
didn't
thing warm
say
up
that I hated it,
shit.
But I love the smell.
The smell.
I love the smell. I love that smell of IPA. I love that tropical fruit IPA.
I was picking up some of the earthy though in the aroma.
All right, so I even gave this a swirl to release a little more.
Put your hand on there, warm it up a little bit.
Still awful.
I was recently in the British Virgin Islands, and down in those islands, you know, they have basically light lagers. You've got your Carib, Corona, El Presidente. What else? Anything else?
You Budweiser.
Stuff like, it doesn't matter what the fuck I serve you, because you're on white sand beaches and you're see Heineken shells.
And rum is cheaper than water down there. So, you know, you get your Captains, your, you know, Cruzan, your whatever island you're on, they've got rum and it's cheaper than water. But, you know, I'm always looking for the craft beer in these places and I need a little, you know, something. So, I'll drink a bunch of Caribs and that's fine. But I found, and I've had this before down there, St. John's Brewing, Virgin Island Brewing Company, St. John Brewery Beer from St. John, Virgin Islands. By way of Portland, Maine, is where
Portland, Maine.
The beer is actually brewed at Shipyard Brewery in Portland, Maine, where I've been to that brewery and I saw the beer there as well. But I went into the local. There's like two places to buy food on two basically shops there, and I went to one of them, and they had the beer. They had this beer. They had 1 6-pack in a box on the floor, you know, in the case box, and they had a bunch in the fridge. So I took all the ones out of the fridge, put them in my case of beer, and I went up and bought them and took all those home, and I drank that beer.
And
so it was very good.
Was it tasty?
You know, if that's all you got, I don't know how tasty it was, but it didn't really matter because the environs. There was a little bit of hops in it, so it was delicious. Yes,
it was way better than the corn beer that.
That's
you're
right.
Drinking.
So I highly recommend if you can find St. John Brewing beer when you're down there in the islands.
I'd like to share a beer experience.
Okay, what do you got?
Which harkened back to an earlier adventure with the three of us. Where we tried the Nantucket beer? Gansett.
The Gansett beers. Good. We had the Gansett episode.
Narragansett.
The Summer Shandy.
The
Summer Shandy.
Gansett. Not Nantucket.
Or the lemon. What was the lemon?
The lemon Shandy lemon beer. Shandy,
yeah.
Lemon
the Shandy. Dell's lemonade.
Dell's lemonade. That's the one. That's the one. So there is a lemonade called Simply. Pure whatever.
Simply Lemon.
Simply Lemon. I'm making the shake sound, the gesture. But anyway, that Simply Lemonade mixed with Miller Lite, if you take a 2% infusion of Simply Lemonade and Miller Lite, it is the ultimate summer beverage. And I drank it for the last month and a half, just one of those on a hot night. Fantastic beer experience. Every craft beer person is currently sticking up their nose and being, this is ridiculous. However, I found it a very, very pleasant experience because you take out all the corniness of the Miller Lite and you cut it with just a tiny bit of the Simply Lemonade, and it is a magical summer experience.
All right. You know, for now, I'm going to have to take your word on it. I'll try it.
I recommend.
Maybe, you know, when I come over to your corner parties. Yes. But
when we're throwing axes and burning things in the yard.
Okay. Any last thoughts on this beer now that it's warmed up? This was, what's this called, Jeff?
Shite.
Yes. I believe if you subscribe to Jeff's Instagram, you'll see his current opinion of this. It'll be backdated a couple of weeks. But
it's Spider Bite Session Black Wheat India Pale Ale. Way too many words.
Yeah. So too much. Too bold of an experiment, not enough on the delivery.
I get more of the black part, the coffee notes.
I liked it.
I love the smell of it.
I completely agree with Jeff.
It's too much, though. I'm not a big fan of the black IPAs. It's just, you know, I want my IPAs, and I want my porters, and I want my stouts, and I'm fine. Just keep those in those categories. You don't have to mix everything up. Don't go crazy, you know. Sours, great. Anything you want to imperialize, fine. But don't mix too much up. It's too crazy.
Now, all that being said, in our 53.1 video episode, which you can find on YouTube/CNBC podcast, we did talk about a blending of flavors and yeast, which
was a
very big success.
But that wasn't like,
that wasn't
let's
style
do everything. Yeah, right. it was a style.
Yeah.
This was, by the way, 4.5% alcohol, so I guess it's in the session range.
Session there.
If it's like, lower than 4.5, but it's right on the edge.
You can try something else. Which we will.
Speaking of which, Mike, grab the next one.
All right. I don't know. Where are they?
They're right in the fridge behind you.
They're in the lined spot. Up
on the right side for you.
Yeah.
Ah. So this is, we're going in order?
Yeah.
All right. This is Chris's favorite flavor.
Oh.
May the Schwarz beer be with you. This is a German-style black lager, Schwarz beer.
So Chris already indicated earlier how he doesn't like the black mixed into his regular
No,
beer.
But this is a style of beer. A Schwarz beer is a style of beer. It's a German-style black lager. This is a real beer style, guys. You go to Oktoberfest, you go to Germany, you're going to find this beer.
Somewhere. So it's got barley, hops, malt, water. That's it.
Reinheitsgebot.
Yeah.
This had a cascade.
Oh, that
head.
Smells nice.
Nice.
Very different. You know, I didn't know quite what order to put these things in.
It should have been last.
It might have been. I went from the Session Black to the Schwarz beer, and that might not have been the right thing to do because this is very different.
That smells amazing.
But all I have to say really quick, from an aesthetic point of view, all the other beers we're trying tonight have hand-drawn labels. This is a standard beer from the good guys at DB.
This isn't one of their rare series. This is a
regular. Make this shit and it's good.
It's not from the shithead series. It's the
it's not from the we're trying it out.
It smells really good. What do you smell there, Jeff?
I just really inhaled it again. My traditional style of embracing the aroma.
Well, so
coffee for sure.
I get vanilla.
Yeah.
Oh, vanilla. Yeah, good call.
I definitely get a coffee.
I get light roast. Yeah, light roast coffee and vanilla. It's got this nice chocolate brown color to it.
Very viscous.
Had a nice cascading head, and this is like an off-white head.
It's very black, the color. You can't see anything. Maybe a little ruby red on the edges.
Wow.
This is good. It's not the salt soy of a porter. It's the clean finish of a lager.
Yeah.
But it's got the complexity of a porter or a stout.
It really does have those
oh, this is
I would say more porter kind of coffee chocolatey notes
this
to
is,
it.
This is almost like an ice cream.
Smells
coffee.
Awesome.
Effervescent.
Really tight effervescence, really tight carbonation,
yep.
So it's a more velvety.
Yeah. But it's not. No, I wouldn't go velvet, right? Because velvet's
creamy.
Like Guinness, right?
Creamy.
It's cream, but it's got the pop. It's more. It's more than a like Guinness is really smooth. When you say velvet,
well, this
like,
isn't
like
velvet
a nitrous,
on a nitro pour.
Okay,
yeah.
not okay. If we're not talking nitrous velvet. Fine then, but that. This has the harshness of a good effervescence, but I get more soda. Like this is like coffee soda, like good old Brooklyn style coffee soda.
I'm not getting the same like the carbonic bite, you know.
No,
not the same. That's what I'm saying. I think it's a little tighter than.
Well, compared to the Saison that we had earlier, that was all bubbles.
The last week or whatever that was.
Yes, right.
The other thing about
I see what you're saying.
These beers when we have, even when we have porters or stouts, when I have them, because I don't. Often order porters and stouts and Schwarz beers. I order IPAs, pale ales, stuff like that, refreshing beers. So when I get one of these, it's really a standout. It jumps out like you're, get more porters. You like them.
To that point,
why aren't you buy more porters?
I flipped that curve and that's what I order now.
Yeah.
So I'll go someplace and instead of getting their IPA, I'm like, I've kind of got jaded by the like over hoppy. It's floral, it's piney, it's earthy, whatever. I don't want that. And I try their smokes or their porters, and these are way more intriguing and interesting. So, but it's a style thing that I'll get bored of that, and I'll go back, and maybe one day I'll go to Amber's,
bounce
but
back.
Probably not. And you know what I'll never like?
Browns.
Browns. I will never like brown ales, man.
So this is 5.1% alcohol.
That's what I was just going to note, was that it maybe nice to see in a modern craft beer. The last one we just had from them was not high alcohol at all. This is under
five.
Well,
it was a session. That was one of the adjectives.
Well, okay, so it's session. But this guy is even like, this is a pretty serious, full-bodied, full-flavored
tons of flavor.
Beer.
Yep.
5.1. We didn't have to go to 7 or 8% to give you a nice, full-bodied beer.
Agreed.
So on the webpage, they say, derived from the recipes of medieval Germanic breweries, our Schwarzbier embodies a millennium of refinement. Schwarzbier, literally black beer, originates from eastern Germany and has a window into pre-modern brewing. Medieval brewers browned barley over open flames. Today we get the characteristically subtle roasted flavors by using the finest toasted malts. This sophisticated little gem is fermented with lager yeast and finishes quick and dry. Take this modern treasure home to your castle today. Oh, nice. I like that. I will.
I concur. I like it. Pleasant experience all around.
Very nice job, Devil's Backbone, with the Schwarzbier. And you don't see a lot of Schwarzbiers out there.
No.
No.
I mean, there's been a preponderance of black IPAs.
Yeah.
There's been...
I mean, porters were big at a period of time. Stouts were big at a period of time. But with the craft brew scene, you do see these waves, right? It's like IPAs big, and IPAs are still big. And then it's like black IPAs.
Well, according to earlier conversations,
sour beers.
It's Brett, right? Yeah. Now it's all the
sours.
It's all about that.
Mike, should we continue our beer cities?
I think we absolutely should. We should be Listomania. I've already refreshed the page in anticipation of that question.
All right, let's do it.
So what do you think the number five city is? Pick a state. Pick a state. Don't look.
I looked.
Did we do Cleveland yet?
We did Cleveland.
No. Did we do Washington, D.C.?
We did. They were number six.
Did we do that Connecticut city?
Yes, we did. New Haven and Hartford, yes.
And we did the one in Michigan. And
we did do Michigan.
Go west, young lad.
Portland.
No.
Oh,
Portland.
Portland's
number five.
Okay.
Really?
What do we
number
got?
Number five. Sacramento.
Really?
The Big Sack.
Okay.
Where you've got, what is it, their paper called? The Bee? Sacramento Bee? With apologies to New Hill, Rubicon, New Glory, and Track 7, Sacramento isn't really known for craft beer. Fortunately, it's close enough to a bunch of folks who are in order to reap the benefits. The University of California, Davis, which is a school that a good friend of mine and a former roommate of yours went to.
Who?
Remember Lila?
Oh, yeah.
She left and went to UC Davis.
I don't know that.
That's right. It's home to one of the most renowned brewing programs in the country.
That's right.
Like, we all should have gotten to UC Davis, right? That's yeah. what our true passions would have been.
Idiots.
We are morons. And the area around it's teeming with breweries. Two of the biggest craft breweries in the country, Sierra Nevada and Chico, which is not too far out from there, and Lagunitas and Petaluma, are less than 2 hours away. One of the best breweries in the world, and I agree with this one, Russian River.
Yeah.
That's in San Jose, which an old company that
San
I worked
Jose.
For. I'm sorry, not San Jose. Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
That we had a client in Santa Rosa, and we went there, and I did not know about Russian River at the time. This was in 2004.
Oh.
And I was right down the street, but I was like, I'm so close to Napa, I should go get wine.
You ass.
I know. I'm a moron, dude. Total fail. It's roughly that far. It's a town with a great brewing culture that just has a few dozen estates, more than 400 breweries in its backyard. It may not be the most prolific craft beer city in California, but it's the state's capital, and it does just fine.
Right on.
All right.
Number four.
Yep.
Same state.
San Fran?
That's right. San Francisco. 34.7% of all beer sold is craft beer.
That's a lot.
It's getting up there.
Doesn't hurt Sacramento to have its town a few hours down the road either. You can trace San Francisco's craft beer roots back to Fritz Maytag buying Anchor Brewing in the late 60s. But various points in its history, brews including Gordon Biersch, Great Garlic Fries, everything else sucks, Buffalo Bills, Speaky 21st Amendment, which we've tried before.
Yes.
That's a pretty good fucking
Been
company.
To the brew pub.
And Drake's have helped make the city's craft beer fixtures. With newcomers like Almanac and innovating still-produced quality beers, craft beers hold a third of the city's beer market. It seems small compared to its potential. I agree. San Francisco should be more like Portland, right? I mean, you've got all the crux of fine food, hipsters, tradition.
San Francisco should be more like Portland?
In terms of craft brewing.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is basically Portland as far as craft brewing.
Nah.
It's a lot more urination on the street.
Across the way, Oakland. Good times.
What?
Oakland, man. Every time I had to go there, I'd stay in Oakland and take the bar across the way because Oakland had a lot more going on. And it has a Jack London bar. It's this old fucking building on the river bay. It's tilted. It's been around since like 1850, 1860. It's just, Oakland had a lot more going on.
We have our cool office in San Francisco right next to the baseball stadium.
All right, number three. San Diego. Okay. That's German for great vagina.
San Diego, yes, awesome. Lots of beer down there.
Did you not see Anchorman? No, you don't know what I'm talking about?
Not while sober.
No. All right, well, there you go. All right, here we go.
Discovered by the Germans in 1904, they named it San Diego.
Oh, really? It just
of
fucking buffered.
German means a whale's vagina.
Any last... Oh, we're on another city. What's next, Mike, after San Francisco?
San Diego.
Yes.
Or in German, whale's vagina.
Yes.
We're actually stunned. This isn't a higher percentage. 34.9% of all beer sold.
That's more than a third, Mike.
Well, you gotta remember San Diego, and I'll read what they say, but I'm gonna go with my own opinion. The expert of... It's a fucking naval port. How many people in the Navy are drinking craft beers? Not much. They're all going, hey, give me a Corona, give me a Bud Light, blah, 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 blah. But still, despite that, 34.9%.
I support our soldiers.
They're the voice of ignorance.
And whatever they want to drink, because they put their lives on the line for our country.
All right. Now I see how this. Comic-Con. Anyway. We're actually stunned this isn't a higher percentage. According to Nielsen, demand for craft beer here increased 22.5% within the past year.
Wow.
The city has its own brewers guild, is home to roughly 50 breweries,
yep,
including Stone, all yep of our favorites, well, Green Flash, we kind of like that, Ballast Point, he likes to scalp yep a lot, and Alesmith. The massive San Diego Beer Week in November and yes is about to give Danish Gypsy Brewer... Mikkeller,
its
first permanent home in the U.S.
Other than the one they have in San Francisco.
San Diego is inextricably tied to craft. While we aren't going to pretend that having Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and MillerCoors facilities, and Van Nuys and Urndale, respectively, doesn't have an effect, or that San Diego's proximity to the Mexican border doesn't give brands from that country a big boost, we're still stunned that San Diego places third or even second to any other city.
What's second then, Mike?
What is second, Chris?
You tell me. We haven't hit Portland yet.
No.
Seattle. What other big beer cities?
Well, you can't come with any two, so one and two. Denver hasn't even showed up in the top 10.
Holy moly.
You just named one and two. Which one is one and which one is two?
What did I name?
Ah,
Providence,
Portland, and Seattle.
Boston,
right.
So Seattle's number two.
That's right. Why don't you tell us about Seattle and the beer scene there, Chris? As you live there the midst of the craft beer revolution,
and 15 years ago when I lived there.
So it wasn't the midst of the craft beer revolution.
It was still good craft beer there. I remember going to Pike Place Brewery right down in Pike Place Market. And going to the Red Hook Brewery right outside of Redmond.
Before they were purchased by Craft Beer Alliance.
Yeah. And a number of other, they also had the Red Hook facility in Ballard, I believe is where it was. And many other local beers and brewing things.
Fantastic. You could have written this article.
Yes.
38.2% of all beer sold in Seattle is craft beer. Until we see who's number two, Seattle's craft beer scene is deep enough to have gone through several waves of growth in its lifetime. Red Hook Ale, launched in 1980s and has stake purchased by Anheuser-Busch InBev and still leads the state in production with 250,000 barrels last year.
Wow.
Elysian, launched in the 90s and rose to number two brewer in Washington State just before being purchased by AB earlier this year. Georgetown Brewing and Fremont Brewing sprang up in the 2000s and have quickly risen among the top five beer producers in the state with more than 250 breweries. In a state of tap rooms, beer bars, growler fills, and a whole lot of home brews, Seattle has rarely been for want of great local craft beer. Even as big brewers sniff around and pick off yesterday's favorites like Pyramid, now owned by Costa Rica-based North American breweries. Newcomers like Holly Mountain rise up to fill pints and gaps in the city's brewing culture.
So number one must be Portland then. What do we say about number one?
What percentage do you think Portland gets?
So we were at 38 point something there?
Well, it can't be more than 50.
Could it be 40? Up to 40%?
So what else are they drinking in Portland if not craft beer?
I have no idea.
Exactly. But still, it's only 43.
43%? That's huge. That that's huge. Almost half of the beer drank in the city is craft beer. That's crazy.
And the
crazy.
Nation average is under 25%. So 43.5 all beer sold. Yes. That's the city in my tagline. And I could spout a whole lot of hyperbole about the local beer culture. Homebrewing, countless tap rooms, myriad breweries, different beer events each month, etc. But the Brewers Association already pointed all that out in the State of Industry presentation at Craft Brewers Conference earlier this year, which I had flagged for an article for us to review, but now I'm not going to. However, as Portland beer writer Peter Dunlop ably points out, Portland's biggest strength isn't that it has roughly 5 dozen breweries to choose from, but that big Oregon brewers, including Ninkasi, Deschutes, and Portland's own Vidmeer Brothers, don't absolutely dominate the city's beer culture. There's enough room for Portland brewing legend Art Lawrence's original Portland Brewing, now owned by NAB, and his barrel-only Cascade Brewing. There's enough space for tap rooms like Horse Brass, Cerveza, Apex, and Hair of the Dog Brewing all over the city, and Yard House and Rock Bottom franchises downtown. There's enough room on the shelf and tap handles for craft beer, because the city's craft beer patchwork keeps changing. Tradition and growth are lovely, but it takes a lot of moving parts to give Portland's beer this kind of momentum.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I'm thirsty. What's our next beer?
Our next beer is something else from Devil's Backbone.
Pull it out.
Shall I grab it? Any questions on Portland? How many of you guys have been to Portland and drank their beers?
I have been to Portland and I have drank their beers.
I have also been to Portland and I've drank their beers.
Lovely city.
It is a great city.
I wish I'd been to Portland.
You haven't been to Portland?
No.
You must go to Portland.
You're a biker too. Right? Wow. All right. This guy's is called String Duster.
Wait, stop. Say no more. Let's taste it.
All right.
Don't tell me what to expect. Yeah, I want to be surprised.
I won't tell you the style of beer.
Just put some in here.
You'll just drink some and be surprised. And then I'll tell you if you're surprised.
That's a good idea.
So do they give us a Schwartz beer as an apology?
To this one?
To any at all?
This is a light straw colored beer.
Cloudy.
There is very minimal, almost no...
no head.
No head. There's just no bubbles here.
Cloudy, right?
Barely any signs of carbonation at all.
Yeah, not much carbonation. Not catching any bubbles, not in my diamond etching.
I smell a little lemon. But not much.
I smell grass.
Yeah, a little. I get the lemon. A little lemony pledge.
I'm going to go, have you ever been to a Vietnam restaurant? It's lemongrass.
Okay.
You know?
Pretty,
I don't, it's cold.
It is maybe too cold.
That's flavorless.
Yeah, maybe a little too cold. Take the next one out of the fridge.
That
so
is,
it's not too cold.
Very, pretty thin. Thin, very thin body.
All right,
maybe we should learn what maybe this is exactly what we're supposed to be drinking.
This is a rustic multi-grain ale. I am not exactly sure what that means, but this is another in the rare series from Devil's Backbone. I suspect it has some rye in there, because I taste a little bit of rye. Rye gives maybe a little bit of peppery flavor. Is that what it gives?
All right, this was definitely just too cold at first, because I just warmed it up, and it's a... All right, yeah, I'm getting...
There's some, like, pepperiness, I feel. That's kind of the flavor.
It is, ever so slightly funky. A little,
yeah.
I can see what you're saying about the rye.
Yeah.
A little bit of that spice.
I mean, I have no idea, but multi-grain, what other grains are going to be in there? Rye, barley, wheat, maybe?
Rice, corn.
Rice, corn. And yeah. I can't find anything about the webpage about the rare series, nor can I... is there anything on the bottle?
Should I explain where I got these?
This would, it warmed up a little bit. It was just too cold at first.
Nah, I'm trying it right now, and it's...
Still nothing?
No. It's absence of...
Look up the beer name directly. String.
So I did get this in a Walmart.
You dick.
So in Strasbourg, which I believe you mentioned earlier.
I did.
So a Walmart in Strasbourg.
He was talking about the baseball player, right?
No.
Oh, pitching Strasbourg. Tonight. I mean, whenever this is.
But they had this on sale, and I was like, hey, I like Devil's Backbone. It's interesting. Yeah.
So on Beer Advocate, one gentleman says, this is listed as a pale ale, but drinks more like an English pale ale than an American pale ale. I'd agree with that, I guess.
Yeah, right. Because it's not a lot of flavor, character, just like the English.
A hazy, honey-colored, multi-grain pale ale.
It's okay to make fun of the English, right? We beat them.
I mean, yeah.
Have you seen my t-shirt?
What are they going to do?
Have you seen my t-shirt? Also from Walmart.
They're not going to...
USA.
It's very light, thin body on this. Warming up, I'm getting the... what I wouldn't say is a typical malt flavor profile. So I wouldn't have said, oh, this is definitely a multigrain beer. But I did say, okay, there's some rye mixed in here.
Yeah.
And then it just finishes with kind of a standard clean bitter finish. You know, nothing remarkable. This is a standard bittering hop, you know, and that's kind of it.
It's just, there's not a whole lot to excite me about this one. Mike, let's just grab the next one.
I have, and I brought it out to warm up.
What is the next one?
Are we going to announce this one?
No, let's give the beer name, and then you pour it for us, and we'll drink
Betamax.
Betamax, all right.
The high caliber, I need your opener, the high caliber video presenter, but lost because they would not put porn on Betamax.
Really?
Yeah, that's why they lost the VHS. They had a higher quality. Huh. The rumor is VHS was willing to go porn.
So that was
Betamax was not, which was owned by Sony.
All right, a nice cloudy orange color.
Technology we went out over. Hedonism.
Cloudy orange.
There's a decent head on this guy.
Yeah, nice little puffy head. Puffy white head.
Still don't detect a lot of bubbles coming off the bottom there.
I smell some hops on this one. I smell a little bit of hops.
Oh, yeah.
It's not as strong as that the crazy beer with those tropical...
grassy hops? Grassy?
Yeah, more like that kind of hop.
Fresh cut grass?
I'm getting a little bit of citrus.
Yeah, a little bit. A little hint.
Ooh, winner.
It's very cloudy. Orange color. Already got to the sip?
Yeah.
I'm going to get to sip.
It's a little cold.
Ooh.
This is an IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
It's got to be.
Yep.
Is it an IPA?
Double.
It's a double IPA.
Okay. What is this called, Jeff?
What do you think it was?
Betamax.
No, don't lie. You were like, really? You were surprised that it was an IPA.
It could have been a pale ale, an IPA, you know.
Betamax Old School Double India Pale Ale.
Okay.
Is it Old School spelled funny with a K? Or Old School just spelled normal?
Just the normal, regular way. Mm-hmm.
You go.
S-K-U-L.
S-K-U-L. I like it.
So the grassy hop on the nose, but in on the palate a little bit
well balanced.
Yeah, the twist from the citrus to the grass, not a heavy pine twist at all to it, and then the good heavy bitter finish.
Yeah,
and a little more viscosity on this one.
I would definitely say
a bit more mouthfeel.
I believe Chris has used aqueous a couple of times tonight. This is the antithesis of aqueous. This has a lot of viscosity. It's very...
You chew this one a little bit.
Yeah, it's thick. But it's not cloying. It's not overbearing. It's not punching your teeth. This is up there with that whole balanced thing we like with Pliny and Toppy Header and Heady Topper.
Warm this up a little bit, though, in the alcohol burn is a bit there.
It's front?
Yeah.
A little bit there.
I did not get that initially.
Which double IPA. This is coming in at 8%.
Oh.
So there's that alcohol. Okay.
This is the highest alcohol beer we've had in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough at the end between this one and the Schwarz beer.
So that's a...
I think your order was a good order, man.
That's a decent drink.
The last beer probably should have been the first one.
Right. Multigrain, then the bite, then the beer, then the IPA. Yeah, good point. Actually, that's where Jeff lined it up. As it should have been.
It's nice. It's a nice IPA.
No, that's good.
A nice kind of earthier.
I will revisit this one.
Less, yeah. Devil's Backbone has a standard IPA, which... is good. I don't love it. I think this one's actually a little bit better than that.
They also have a double IPA, which is okay. This is different.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of this beer. It's very good.
It's good. It's a nice IPA.
So, where is the brewer from Harpoon?
Mike.
What?
Let's pick one beer out of these four Devil's Backbone beers. Jeff, why don't you remind us what these four beers are called again?
We first tried the Spider Bite Session Black Wheat India Pale Ale. Spider Bite Session Black Wheat India Pale Ale. Then we had the Schwarz beer, German style black lager. Followed by the String Duster, rustic multigrain ale. And finally, the Betamax Old School Double India Pale Ale.
So, Jeff, you want to take one of these ladies home with you. Which is it going to be?
The Betamax is clearly a big winner. The double IPA, and they do it well. A lot of modern craft brewers, this is their target beer style. And unfortunately, a lot of them are overdoing it and kind of destroying the beer.
Yeah.
This one is particularly good.
I agree. It's pulled back a little bit. It's more...
I'm not going to say, like, oh, this is definitely, like, a top 10, but if I saw this one on the shelf, I am picking it off, and I want to enjoy it again. That being said, the Schwarz beer was really nice and a refreshing surprise, and that's the guy I'm going to pick, kind of really well done for standing out on a traditional beer style that we don't see a lot of these days.
Yeah, I'm with you there with the Schwarz beer, I think. Again, like I said earlier, I don't look for that style of beer, but whenever I have one, I'm like, wow, I really should look for that style of beer. And this was a good example of that. It had great notes on the smell, and it tasted good as well. Mike, you want to take a pick?
Well, I was going to pick the Schwarz beer because I liked it as a standalone example of a fine beer. However, since both of you picked that, I'm going to go with the Betamax because I really enjoyed it. And I think...
Plus, we like Big Hero 6. I mean, come on.
We do.
Yes.
But one of the things that I've been more attuned to in IPAs lately is that well-balanced thing where it's not overwhelming one way or the other. And this hits that mark. It's a well-balanced IPA.
Yeah, I agree.
And when we're dealing with this world where IPA first and everybody has their hops, this one is smooth, balanced, delivers, so I'm going to go with the Betamax.
All right, why don't you take us out of this episode, sir?
Thanks for listening to episode 54 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.podomatic.com.
Oh.
Ah! 54 episodes! Come on, Judgy McJudgerson.
You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from you!
Any of the keys... Was that Bane? Any of the keys...
You now have my permission. To die.
Social media things, Twitter, Facebook and YouTube, whatever they do, CNBC podcast. That's where Grindr. We are.
We need to be on Grindr and was it like Tinder and Finder and Grindr and Quinder, all of them.
So any of those, you can find us.
Just do your favorite social media / CNBC podcast, and we should probably be
there. We're there.
And if we're not, send us an email to CNBCpodcast yes. @gmail.com and be like, why the fuck aren't you on the latest and greatest?
Yeah, kids, please tell us, because we don't know.
We're over 40. We have no fucking clue how to handle social media.
You know, we'll get on Snapchat or whatever the thing is now.
What is that? That's how I talk to 15-year-olds. Unfortunately, they're all friends with my daughter, so it's not
what you think
it is.
Cheers.
Drink good beer.
Drink good beer.
So, quote of the day from Archie Bunker, you can't buy a beer, you only rent it.
Alright. Yeah, put your hands on like that.
Yeah, I got it.
Use both of them.
Now stroke it up, push down, up again, and there.
Slow down.
Now look at that creamy head. Can we put this on the edit floor?
Yes.
All right, well, should I spit it out or?
No, swallow.
Pretty sweet.
Freaking Caucasian. That's all I gotta say.
We're not. Can you just edit me out?
No.